Good afternoon, guys. It's good to be here with you again on another Sunday. We're in part three of a series, sermon series. We're going through the life of Jacob and Joseph and that entire family, and I'm excited to preach the Word of God to you today. You guys excited for the Word? Yeah. All right, let's open the Bible to Genesis chapter 39. I'm going to try to cover three chapters of the Bible in one sermon. So pray for me. Pray for you too. Genesis chapter 39. Okay. And then we're going to read a few verses and then also a few verses from chapter 41. Starting at verse 1, chapter 39. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him, and he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. From the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of him, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And okay. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her, or to be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was there in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Let's go to verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Let's turn to chapter 41, verse 50. Chapter 41, verse 50. Before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house." The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph. What he says to you, do." So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. This is God's word. Okay. All right. We're looking at the life of Joseph and his family. Joseph was the favorite son of his father Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, so these 12 brothers, I'm just recapping what happened, and they were jealous of Joseph because he was the favorite. He was the second youngest, and they were all jealous, they were all angry. It would build up through the year, so they sold Joseph as a slave into slavery, and eventually he came to Egypt, and he became a slave there. And we're looking here at from chapter 39 to 41, And what we're seeing here is this is the stage of Joseph's life where you see him, he's starting at the bottom, he's hit rock bottom, but we see him rising. He's rising through the ranks, he's rising in the world. Eventually he becomes the prime minister. Although he's under Pharaoh, but basically he rules the whole country. He's the one running everything. Pharaoh is just kind of like, it's kind of like the Queen of England. She's the highest, but the person who's running it, the people running it are under her. And in the same way, so Joseph is running the most powerful nation on earth at that time. And so we see God is bringing a rising, he's rising Joseph. Joseph is rising under the hand of God. And so what we're going to see here is, I want us to trace his life, and because he faces a lot of different things as he moves up in his life. And what we're going to see is that he faces temptations, he faces sufferings, he faces injustice, he faces a lot of different things, but I think we're going to learn a lot from his life. Okay, over these three chapters, it happened over the course of 20 years, actually, that chapter 39 to 41 actually happened. But what we're going to see is that as a Christian, just like for Joseph, his life was not easy. In the same way, it is not easy to live the Christian life. Do you guys know that? Joseph went through a lot of ups and downs, even to get to where he was. His life was continuing. He's being promoted, and then he's being thrown down. He's being promoted again, he's being thrown down. He's just being tossed up and down, just roller coaster. His highs are really high. His lows are really low. He goes through so many things in life. But what is the secret? How is he able to come through it all to become the kind of person and to fill the purposes of God for his life? How does he get through this? I believe that we're going to be really encouraged and blessed as we meditate, as we think about the life of Joseph, because, it's not easy as a Christian to live in this life. It's not easy as a Christian to live in this world. You guys know that. Unless your life has only been, sunny skies and beautiful, sunshine, rainbows, all that. There's ups and downs in life. We all go through it. We're going to face some really good seasons in life. There's going to be some times that are really hard. A lot of different things coming at us. And so to live as a Christian in this world, there are a few things that I believe we can learn. As a Christian, we're not called to go out of this world. We're actually supposed to live in this world with its challenges, with its temptations, with its struggles. And God doesn't want to just take us out, but he wants to build in us a faith and a character that is able to face all these things with faithfulness, with integrity, and to be able to grow through it all. You see, that was the mistakes of the monks, the monastic movement. They thought, this life, this world, it's all just contaminated. I just need to get out and go into a monastery and live there. But that was their error. That's not what God is calling us to do. He's calling us to actually live in this world. Sometimes, do you guys ever feel like, if I just want to get out of this world, I just want to pass through this, I just want to see Jesus, there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, all that. And, that time will come, but God is using this time as we walk through this life, this world. He's training us. He's shaping us. He's developing. He's building our faith, our character. All right? So, I want to start off, I want to quickly go through a summary of Joseph's life over these three chapters. It happened over the course of 20 years. But what we see is Joseph, when he was 17, he was a spoiled brat in his family. He was the second youngest son, and it's like, my daddy favors me, haha. He's like flaunting it. And so he's very insensitive. He's very oblivious to other people, how they feel, how they think. He's very prideful, selfish, spoiled brat. Nobody likes this guy. You wonder, his brother sold him up. I can see why they would do that. They were wrong, but, that's what happened. And so that's where he started when he's 17. But then what happens is he gets sold as a slave. He goes to Egypt. He's away from his family. He's all alone. He has no idea what his future is going to be like. It seems like this cloud is hanging over him. What's going to happen? But we see he gets sold to the house of a man named Potiphar, who was a very high-ranking official in Egypt. And Joseph, he becomes so faithful and so good at what he does, taking care of Potiphar's house, that he rises through the ranks, and Potiphar basically trusts the whole management of his house and his business to Joseph. Right? Joseph was running the joint. That's how good he was. That's how skillful he was. God was with him. But even in this place, he's going down. Now he's rising back up. But then Potiphar's wife looks at Joseph. He's like, oh, this boy looks good. You know, he says Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. His mother, Rachel, is the only other person in the Old Testament where it said she was beautiful in form and appearance. So, you know, he had good genes, right? He's looking good. He's like, you know, running the joint. Everybody's looking up to him. The first wife's like, oh, snap. She notices him. She cast his eyes on him, right? And because he resists that temptation, she frames him. She blames him. And so he gets thrown into prison. So he's going up and down. He's back up. Back down. Now he's in prison, but even in the place of the prison, he's so faithful, he's so good, that he rises up, and basically the prison warden has Joseph running the joint again. You see, are you seeing a theme in Joseph's life? Okay, so he's really good, and then in the prison, two officers of Pharaoh, they end up being in prison. It was a cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh. You know, Pharaoh just, they got into his bad graces, and so they get thrown into prison. And then they have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams, right? And it actually comes true. So you see, Joseph is also a spiritual man. He has spiritual discernment. And then, but the cupbearer, he gets restored back to Pharaoh, and Joseph asks him, when you go back to Pharaoh, please remember me. Please mention me, because, you know, I've been here in this prison. I've been thrown down. It's nothing because of what I've done. But what happens is the cupbearer forgets Joseph for 2 years. And once again, Joseph, he's let down by people. He's disappointed. He's hit rock bottom. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a pair of dreams. Basically, I can't share every detail of these three chapters, but Pharaoh has two dreams, and no one can understand and explain it. But then the cupbearer remembers, oh, there was this dude in the prison who interpreted my dream. So they call for Joseph. Pharaoh, can you explain my dream? Joseph explains it. He says, this is the interpretation. It's from God. There's going to be 7 years of abundance. The economy is going to be booming, right? Everything's going to, it's just going to be growth, 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 exponential. But then after those 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of economic disaster, famine across the whole earth. And so Pharaoh, here's what I recommend. Here's the plan of action. Here's the economic policy you should implement. And he gives him this whole plan, and then Pharaoh sees such a wisdom, such a discernment, such a faithfulness. He could recognize the spirit of God in Joseph. And so he says, you shall be my second in command. You shall run this whole country. So that took 13 years to get to that point. When Joseph was sold as a slave, and finally he came before Pharaoh, he was running not just Potiphar's house, not just the prince. He was running the most powerful country in the world. That's a big jump in 13 years. All right, so he does that, and then he's now being entrusted with so much, and he has two children during those 7 years of abundance and plenty. The first one he names Manasseh. Manasseh means forget. God has made me forget all my trouble, all my father's house, everything I went through. He's helping me to forget it. He's helping me to move on. But the second child he names Ephraim. He says, no, God has also made me fruitful in the land of my affliction, in the place of my suffering. And so those 7 years of plenty, they pass. And then he's running the economy. And then finally, the famine is starting. And as the famine starts, we read at the end of chapter 41, all the earth was beginning to come to Joseph and to Egypt to buy bread, to buy grain. Okay? So that's a summary of what's been happening in Joseph's life. And I think we will see a few things in Joseph's life that I think we can learn from. But, you know, it's amazing what God does in this man's life, because no matter what happens to him, no matter how many times he gets thrown down, fall down 7, get up 8, I don't know who said that, right? Was it Dwayne? Anyway, right? He's like a cork that you just push it down, he just keeps rising by the grace of God, by the favor of God, because God is with him. Chapter 39, verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And so we're going to learn a few things. First, he had to learn to be faithful to his work. Second, he had to learn to be faithful in temptation. Third, he had to learn to be faithful in injustice. These three things I want to cover. I want to talk to you briefly. Each one could be its own sermon. I almost wanted to do that, but I only have one more sermon left in this series. And so I'm going to cover all three at once. All right? So first, Joseph was faithful to his work, to his calling. You see, the beginning of chapter 39, Joseph sees God's giving him promotion. God is blessing all his work so that other people are noticing it. Everyone in influence, everyone with power is able to observe that the favor of God is with this man, Joseph. You see, because Joseph was faithful with every single thing he did. No matter what was before him, no matter what task, what responsibility, whether setting up chairs, cleaning toilets, being faithful to care for people. You even see in the prison, when he goes to prison, he's not just, crying and licking his own wounds, self-pity party, He notices when other people are troubled, when they're downcast. He says, we didn't read this part, but in chapter 40, he says, why are you downcast? Why are you so down today? He still notices other people. He's faithful with everything he does. And he learns to manage a household and a business. He learns to manage a prison. God is giving Joseph experience in different areas. But Joseph has to first be faithful with the small things, with the hidden place, because God had a destiny for Joseph. He was going to run the most powerful country in the world. That was his destiny. That was his calling. But he wasn't able to get there in 1 or 2 years. It took 13 years. And during those 13 years, he had to be faithful in Potiphar's house. Even in the prison, who's going to care? Imagine, if you were thrown in prison, would you have all the zeal and so faithful? You were a victim of injustice. A lot of us might be wondering, God, what are you doing in my life? God, why are you allowing this? Lord, where am I? What is this? Why am I doing this work? What kind of call? I thought you had a calling for my life. Where have you placed me? Why am I cleaning these toilets? Service team, you guys are faithful, right? But why? What am I doing? Where's my career going? Where's my life going? Why am I just at home? Just taking care of these kids. What is happening with my life? And you see, what we see in the story of Joseph is wherever you are, wherever God's placed you, Joseph has learned to be faithful. You see, sometimes we're not able to see the future, the bigger picture of what God's doing. Joseph didn't know that he was going to run Egypt. He's a foreigner. He's not even an Egyptian. He's a foreigner in a foreign land. He's in prison. He's a slave. It's like, do you think he even dared to imagine dreams of running the country? And yet he learned to be faithful where he was. And as he was faithful in that place, God was training him. God was forging him, not only with faithfulness in his character, to his work, to caring for other people, noticing their problems, moving towards them, but he was also training him with the skills. Even in the small places, even in the hidden places, how are you going to run a country? How are you going to run the economic policy, handle all this bread, all this grain? Egypt. And then all the nations are coming to you. All the world leaders are coming to you. You are like in the news, front page of the newspapers day after day. During this time, you are one of the most influential people in the world. How did he learn to be faithful? How did he learn to handle those things? It's because he was faithful in the hidden place. He was faithful in the secret place. And God was teaching him the skills. How many of you guys feel like in my work right now, this is not what I imagined. This is not where I thought I would be. I'm 32 years old. I'm however old you are, right? Most of you guys are not 32. Praise the Lord. Although 30s is a great decade, by the way. Where's my career going? Wherever God has you, be yourself to wherever he has you. Whether it's in your work and in your career, even if it's not an opportunity that was your dream opportunity or your dream job, whether it's being faithful at community with ministry to notice other people, their needs, see when they're hurting, see when they're down, see when they need encouragement, see how you can practically serve them, meet their needs like Joseph did. Or can you be faithful? Can you learn to be faithful? Even when no one else sees, no one else notices. The pastor forgot to honor me. I don't want to talk about myself. But, or with your family. wherever God has placed you, the people in your life, the relationships that he's placed you in, is God planning to use you not only where you are, but is he also training you? Is he also preparing you for great things that you have no idea? You see, Joseph had to learn to be faithful in the lower places, in the hidden places. Not only the skills, the character, but he also, you see this compassion? Joseph was a spoiled brat when he was 17. If he just went straight to powerful positions, that would have ruined him. How much would it have gotten to his head? How much, he was not a compassionate man, young man. This guy was a spoiled, selfish brat. And yet he learns to care for people in prison so that when he becomes high in power, he's still so humble. When he comes before Pharaoh, Pharaoh's like, can you interpret this? He says, interpretation is not me. It's from God. This trust, dependency on God, this humility, this compassion. Do you see how God is developing, training, forging who Joseph is becoming so that he can be prepared for the future calling and the destiny that God has for him? How many people, I've seen this, I'm old enough to know, a lot of people, when they're young, they might be faithful to God, they might love God, but as they move up into higher positions, they move up in their careers, they make more money, they get distracted by more things, they have more opportunities, they have more power, they have more just going on in their lives. How many people begin to slowly, gradually, you can hardly even tell, but over the years, you start to see their lives are no longer centered on God. They're thinking about their career. They're thinking about my work, thinking about, oh, myself, my goals, my dreams, all that I want to do, because they're getting more opportunities. They rose too fast. They went too high. Their business grew too much. They expanded too many. It's a very subtle thing. But what happens is they become drawn, attracted to the splendors of this world and all the pleasures and all the cares. And their hearts are slowly taken away from centering their lives on God. And they lose, while they might be growing in the eyes of the world, in the spirit, before the eyes of God, they're losing something. They're losing this core. They're losing this center on God, this spirituality, this depth, this devotion, this worship, this trust. And you see it through the years. I'm old enough to see it. I've seen it. I've seen it too many times. How many of you guys, you feel like God's bringing me through ups and downs? Why is he doing all this? Maybe God's preparing your character. He's preparing your faithfulness so that when you learn to be faithful in the small things, when he entrusts bigger things to you, it won't get to your head. You won't feel like my resources, my skills, my hard work, my effort, everything I did, place. No, it wasn't you. But if you get there too quickly, it's going to get to your head. You're going to think it's all you. And spiritually, you might be lost. But if God takes us through this process, ups and downs, just like he did with Joseph, he runs the most powerful country, but he's still so humble. He still knows, no, it's not me. God set me up here to serve people, to bless this nation, to bless others. He stays compassionate. He stays soft-hearted. See, God's plans for our lives is so different the way he unfolds, the way he directs us. We often just want just this one direct path. My goal, straight line, is the shortest distance. And God's like, yeah, but if you go that way, you're going to destroy yourself. No. Follow me. Trust in me. We may understand it as we're going through it. But we have to learn to trust God, whose ways are higher, whose designs, his purposes are higher than ours. His purposes for your life are so much greater than you getting financial security. It's like, what's your dream for your life? Financial security. God's like, no, I want to do something greater in your life. There's something so much greater in Joseph's life. What's your dream? Just move up in my career. Just settle down and just get married to a Joseph who's handsome in form and appearance. It's like, no. God is God has greater designs. He loves you more than you love your own life, your own self. So his purpose is for you. You see that? So learn to be faithful, just like Joseph. But Joseph also had to learn how to face temptation. Oh, snap. We read this temptation. This was not an easy temptation. Potiphar's wife, she's influential. She has power. He could get access to her to many different things. Also, he's a stud. Right? Potiphar's wife, it says, she came after him day after day. Lie with me. Lie with me. It wasn't just once. Do you know, in your life, as you go through this world, temptation will come at you. Sexual temptation will come at you. You may not even know it sometimes. Especially in our culture today, I don't even need to say this, but in our culture, how often does sexual temptation come at us? You know, if for Joseph, it was day after day. How often, you know, we're living in a culture where the sexual mores have really shifted, has changed a lot in the last 50 years. And we kind of have settled into it, and we think it's normal. And you know, if you're not a believer, and you're coming here, and you're like, oh, the Christian view of sex, it's so prudish, it's so repressive. That's like 50 years ago, times have changed, we need to move with the times. That's not how, you know, things are anymore. If you're more from a traditional culture, then you know, it's more to a Christian view of sex. But our culture, it's changed so much so that a Christian view of sex seems so out, not with the times. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're only supposed to have sex with your husband or your wife? One man, one woman in marriage? That's it? Come on. Who lives like that anymore? You know what? If you try to live like that, you're gonna feel strange in this world. You will. Joseph, he could have easily given in. Day after day, this temptation came after him. And it says, Joseph refused, and day after day, he would not listen to her. Verse 10, chapter 39. He would not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. You see how much he's guarded? How Potiphar's wife looked? But he would not even lie with her or be with her. He would not even be alone with her. He was guarding himself. How many of us, when we're dating, we're like, oh, as long as we don't go all the way as a Christian. But you know what? We can be together alone, late at night. We can do things. And it's like Joseph's like, no, I won't even be with this woman. I'm not even going to get close to that line. See, because he knows himself. This is a word to, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, this might seem weird. But if you're a believer and you're not married, if you're dating, or if you're single and you're not married, it doesn't matter. Like, you need to guard yourself. You need to be vigilant day after day. In our world today, you need to be vigilant day after day. You cannot let your guard down. Even when you're in a relationship, are you just saying it's okay for me to not lie with her? Or are you also, look at Joseph, he would not even be with her. Because he knew, if I go there, that's a slippery slope. That's a fast descent. I'm going to fall really quickly. I can't even go there. I'm going to guard myself. Do you plan out where you're going to be together? Where you're going to spend your time? Who's going to be around you? Do you set guardrails in place? I'm not trying to make you feel bad. But we need to be realistic about Joseph's very realistic. And you see, we see another thing because in verse 11 it says, but one day when he went into the house and none of the men were in the house, so he was guarding himself, but sometimes even when you're guarding yourself, someone just comes and catches you by the garment. Bam! Like, I was looking for it, bam! The temptation comes. You guys know what I'm talking about in this world? So even he's putting guardrails in place, and that's wisdom. Please learn that. Please. Don't just buy into the culture's values, but even when you put guardrails in place, sometimes it just comes like a sneak attack. Like, you're not even waiting. It's like, oh, snap. Bam! Catch you by the garment, right? Sexual temptation. Bam! It's like, lie with me. No, this is real. The things that Joseph had to learn to face. So what does it say? It says he fled. He put structures, he put guardrails in place for his regular life, but he was even ready for the sneak attacks, for the unexpected attacks, temptations that would come. When it came, there was no one around him to hold him accountable. No one would have known. No one would have seen. But he fled from her. He says, oh, snap. Was there a sense he was also tempted? Maybe. I don't know. It's not clear. But maybe he did. And he said, oh, snap. She caught me, but I need to get the heck out of here. He runs out the house. Probably just got his underwear on. I don't know. He's not fully clothed, right? Because she took his garment as proof. She blames him. He tried to rape me. That's what she tells the house servants and her husband, Potiphar. But you see, Joseph, he was ready to flee. He didn't have overconfidence in his own abilities to resist. He fled. He got. See, that's what the New Testament says. It says, flee sexual immorality. It doesn't say, play around with it. Oh, just get some experience. Oh, just enjoy some worldly pleasure and some fun. You know, like, you know, why do Christians have, why can't we just take, why? So that's not what it says. It says, flee. Flee sexual immorality. Flee youthful passions. Young men and women. Do you guys know what youthful passions are? You guys know what I'm talking about. It says, Paul says to Timothy, flee youthful passions. Don't play around with temptation. Flee it and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. You see, sexual temptation, once it grabs you by the garment, man, you better get the heck out of there. And you see, as Joseph was learning to be faithful in temptation, not just once, not just twice, day after day, putting guardrails, even when the catching by the garment came, he fled. He developed strategies. Do you know that? See, to be able to go and live as a Christian in this life, it's not an easy thing. I'm not saying temptation is easy. Do you know what you're going to do when you're facing it? Do you have strategies? Are you becoming more skillful in the spiritual warfare, in the spiritual battle? Or is it when any time a little temptation comes, bam, it catches you? See, when you're in battle, when you're in war, your senses get heightened. You hear rustling of a leaf. You hear a twig snap. Oh, snap. Like, you're ready, right? It's like, you got your weapons. You're ready to go. How many, you know, isn't it stupid if you're in a battle and you're just like whistling, like, you know, like, it's like, oh, this fool, bam, and just kill. You know what I mean? You're just going to get blown flat by the devil, by this world. You need to be on guard. We need to be spiritually vigilant. But you see, what do we see? How does Joseph actually face this? Because notice what he says. Potiphar's wife says only three words. Lie with me. That temptress, Potiphar's wife. But Joseph, he gives his whole speech. And he says, this is what Potiphar has blessed me with. He's trusted me in this house. I'm not, no, there's no one greater than me in this whole house. And that his last line, he says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? Sin against Potiphar? Sin against Potiphar's wife? No, he says, how then can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Where did the power to resist and flee temptation come from? It didn't come because Joseph was an upright, moral man. No, it came because he had an intimate relationship with God. Look at what me. Look at how faithful he's been. How he's been with me through all my ups and downs, everything I've gone through. He's never left me. Been with me my whole life. Look at the love and the faithfulness he shows me. How then can I be unfaithful to him when he's been so faithful to me? He's been so good to me. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? My God, my lover, my father, my shepherd, my king, my Lord. How can I do this? You see, the secret, the power to resist and flee sexual temptation is not just telling yourself, oh, yeah, setting guardrails, although we should do that. Joseph did that. It's not just, oh, being moral, oh, here's what you shouldn't do, you know, like, no, it's your relationship with God. Is God's love real to you? You see, Joseph, so good to Joseph, but for us, how much has God done for us? God was faithful to Joseph through his ups and downs, but for us, what has God done for us? He gave his son. He gave his own life. He died for us. He bled, he suffered, he died on a cross. He gave everything he had. That's how much he loved us. That's how faithful he was to us. How then can we do this great wickedness? How can we turn against God when he's been so good to us? He's been so good to me. He's been so faithful to me. I got to spend a couple more minutes here. Because this is a big issue in our time, in our culture, and for many of us. Is if you, the Bible says over and over, if you persist in sin, including sexual sin, and you do not repent, if you do not turn, but you persist in it, your heart will get harder, and you will have no assurance, and you should have no assurance that you are truly a child of God. If you persist unrepentant in your sexual sin, you have no assurance that Jesus' death, his blood, was actually for you, that you actually belong to God. Because the Bible says those who belong to him do not persist, do not continue unrepentant. You see, I love this chapter. See, the author of Genesis, so skillful, because right before chapter 39 was chapter 38. Judah, Tamar, that was some sexual sin. God forgave them. God redeemed them. God had mercy. God still used them. You see, so the word of God is balanced. For those of us who have been in sexual sin, whether we're living in it right now or whether in the past, there's mercy. There's forgiveness. If we turn to Christ, if we turn to him in repentance, there's hope, there's forgiveness, there's healing. But I love that the Bible has both of these stories back to back to show us that, but there's also a call to be faithful. Not just, oh, well, if I sin, there's just forgiveness. No, call to be faithful to the Lord because of all that he's done for you. Does that affect you at all? How much God has done? The very reason why he died was so that you would no longer live for yourself, but live for him, so that you would grow more holy, grow more pure. Does it make no difference to you? Does it move you at all? You know, an old theologian, 400 years ago, named John Owen, he says, if you reflect on all that God has done for you, how much he's bled and died and suffered, how much he loves you, and yet your heart is so hard, it doesn't affect you at all, and you can continue in your sin, he says, I fear your case is very dangerous. See, there's a balance to the biblical teaching. For those of us who have sinned, there's mercy, there's forgiveness. But it doesn't mean you just get complacent in there, because that's a dangerous place to be. Your heart will get very hard through the days, weeks, months, years. Consider all that God's done for you. That's the central place where we get the motivation, where we get the desire. No, how can I do this and sin against God? He's given everything for me. How much he's loved me. So Joseph, man, this guy, he started as a spoiled brat, but he's becoming a man of God. He's becoming a great man. He's becoming, man, this guy, I respect this man, the kind of man that God is turning him into. See, so he was faithful with work and his calling. He was faithful in temptation. But third, man, I got hurt. Always the third point I get like, okay. Third, he was faithful against injustice in the face of disappointment. How many of us, this is the first one. You trust someone, they let you down. You feel betrayed. You're facing injustice. You're coming up against some of the injustices in this world, in this life. And it's caused serious loss, serious hurt in your life. Pain. So Joseph, first he was sold by his older brothers as a slave. He was alone in a foreign land. Never thought he'd see his family again. Not only that, he was being faithful in Potiphar's house, and then he gets blamed, framed, and accused falsely. He goes to prison. Even in prison, he helps these two people interpret their dreams, and they forget him. How many times did he have to face injustice, disappointment? A lot of us, as suffering begins to enter into our lives, our hearts get so discouraged, so downcast, we say, what's the point? What's the use? My brother sold me into slavery. My life's going nowhere. Forget it. I'm not going to be faithful. I'm not going to, what's the point of trying? What's the point of worshiping God? I was faithful and got thrown into prison. God, where are you? God, what the heck? Forget this. And yet, every single time, Joseph, he doesn't look inwards. He doesn't, come into the moon just pitying himself. No, he's still serving, still blessing others. He's still caring for other people. Where? See, we learn from the life of Joseph how to face disappointments. A lot of times, disappointments, injustices will bring you down even more than temptation sometimes. See, Joseph, he had to face the full range of experience in this life because God wanted to. See, how was he able to go through all this? Because what we see, and we only see this in chapter 39 of the whole story of Joseph. Several times, seven times actually, the name of the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord God. And four times in this chapter it says the Lord was with Joseph. Never again in the whole story of Joseph. But here at the beginning, when Joseph is at his lowest, Joseph's reminded, the Lord was with me. The Lord is with me. As he begins his journey from suffering, goes up and down, at the very beginning, God assures him, I am with you. Everything you're going to face in your life, everything you're going to go through, sometimes you're going to feel so overwhelmed. You're going to feel like, what is happening? Why are all these things happening to me? The Lord is with you. And you see, Joseph, he learns this lesson. Because not only in temptation, what did he say? How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? But later on, he comes before Pharaoh, 13 years later. What does he say? Interpretation of dreams is not from me, it's from God. And then later, when he has children, when he's in power now, still he remembers God. He names his first son Manasseh, for God has made me forget all my trouble. I'm not only looking to God when I was in the low place, I'm remembering God, even when he's brought me up. Not only in my sense of need, but even in my place of plenty, God's faithfulness. Names his second son Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. It was not me. It wasn't me. It wasn't how skillful I was. It wasn't how diligent I was. It wasn't how faithful I was. It wasn't how good with people and connections and No. He says, God has made me fruitful. I'm at the top of Egypt. I have a family. God is healing me. God's restoring me. Look at all he's doing. It's all of God. It's this trust. It's this dependence. It's this humility that he has. You see, God is with you. And we all have heard that so many times. But for so many of us, we don't actually really come to realize and understand that until we go through some things. Until we go through some ups and downs. Go through some hardships. God may tell us from the beginning When we're young, the Lord is with you. But it takes us some years to realize. But that is the message of Scripture, is that if you belong to Christ Jesus, that no matter where you are in life, no matter what you're going through, whether you're high, whether you're low, whether you're up or down, whether it's your first cycle, second cycle, wherever you are, the Lord is with you. Whether you're facing temptation, whether you're facing injustice, disappointment, whether your life feels overwhelmed, you feel like you're in the prison, in the dungeon, darkness, clouds over your life, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You see, if you will look to God, if you will look to God through everything you go through in your life, through every season, the highs and the lows, everything you go through in life, if you will cling to Him, if you will trust Him and look to Him and trust that He's doing something good, even though you don't understand it at the time, He will bring you through. You will come to see He is faithful. He is always faithful. He is with you, and He's doing something beautiful in your life. He was doing something amazing. He was turning Joseph into someone, from a spoiled, selfish brat, He was making him into something beautiful. Someone great. Look at this man. You think anything could touch this man after he went through this? He's able to face anything in life after what he's went through. The kind of profound trust in God, even no matter what comes at me, even though He may bring me through fire and water, He may bring me through the deserts, the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord is with me. I know. I will trust Him. I will depend on Him. I will be faithful to Him. I will cling to Him. Becomes this great man, able to be entrusted with the highest rulership in the world. And I love what one commentator said. It was only later on in Joseph's life that we see the veil of tears was used to be the valley of soul making. Something like that, right? It's a really good quote. This veil of tears, it's actually a valley of soul making where God is making our character. God is shaping who we're becoming in Him. It's like, you know, the threads of our life. Sometimes we only see the dark threads as we're going through hard times. We're like, what is God doing? But if you trust God's design in your life, He'll even use the darkest times, the hardest times. He'll weave it together into a beautiful design in your life. He is the master weaver. What do you call it? Master designer. Master. Man, this was supposed to be a climax of my sermon. Okay. See? And you see, do you know how we know that God is with us? Because Joseph, as he was going through his ups and downs, he knew that God was with him. But you see, there was a greater Joseph. You see, this Joseph is pointing to the greater Joseph. Jesus, He also went through a veil of tears. He went through the valley of suffering. He went through ups and downs in His life. He ended His life naked on a cross, suffering, mocked, seemed like a failure. He cried out to God. See, Joseph cried out to his brothers when he was being sold into slavery, and they ignored him. Jesus cried out to His Father on the cross, and there was no answer. Joseph had to have that intimate relationship with His Father who loved him. Jesus cried out to His Father. He lost that relationship with His Father. Joseph was alone in a foreign land. Jesus left the Father's house voluntarily. He came to this earth. He lost that relationship with the Father on the cross. He went through all this. And on the cross, He says those words, my God, why have You forsaken Me? He felt like God was no longer with him. But you see, because Jesus went through that, just as Joseph, he rose to power in Egypt, and through his influence, his entire family gets saved. So through the suffering of Jesus, because he went through it for us, we can know that God is with us no matter what we go through in life. And eventually, because he's exalted at the right hand of the Father, we know that all the glory, all the blessings that are in Jesus, he's going to share that with us. There's nothing in life that can ultimately hurt us. Do you guys know that? Why are you so afraid then? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so downcast? See, it's a beautiful thing that God was doing in Joseph's life. He was making him to something great. He was saving many nations and their lives, and he was healing his family. Joseph saw none of this. There are how many things in your life that God is doing that you have no idea? You have but a faint glimmer. You see like 0.001% of what God is doing. And you're wondering, God, what are you doing in my life? Lord, you're not running my life that well. Well, he has greater purposes. If we will learn to look to Jesus, to look to God, just like Joseph did, in his work, in his temptations, in injustices, we'll see, and we'll be able to see at the end of our lives, man, God, you're good. You're wise. I can trust you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, Lord, there's a lot of ups and downs in our lives. Some of us here in this room, we're just feeling like we've been down for a long time. Maybe we feel like, how can I get through this? I don't see how. And yet, Lord, we look at the life of Joseph, how you were with him, how you brought him through every trial, every temptation, every test. And we see your beautiful design because we're able to see the bigger picture. Father, would you help us to look to you through everything we're going through, to trust in you even when we don't understand, to cling to you, to hold fast, God, because you are God. You are wiser. Your ways are higher than ours. Lord, help us to see the beauty, the wonder, the wisdom in your purposes, God, for us, so that we might live lives that are fruitful, that are glorifying to you. I pray these things in Jesus' name.